This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com. Welcome, and this is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is July 6th, 2020, and this is show number 69. And Nick, hey, the markets are looking up today, huh?
Yeah, we got a pretty good rally on our hands to start the week. You know, coming off of the long holiday or the three-day weekend, you never know what you're going to wake up to. But it's nice to see a good little move in the markets today. And markets are really, it's a broad-based rally, too, which is even a little bit better.
So it's broad-based. So what sectors are you watching here?
Well, today, you know, normally we see just technology up, and that is leading. So, you know, we'll give that its due. NASDAQ's up 2%, but we have energy stocks acting really well today. They're up a little bit. We're looking at a lot of the retail names higher today. We're also looking at a lot of the metals and mining names higher today, and I'm talking about stocks like BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto, not so much the gold miners, but even the gold miners today are acting pretty well. So it's everything really across the board, including the financials. They're up as well. So it's a very good broad-based rally, and that's a sign of strength, at least for now.
All right. So are we going to see this filling, though, for the rest of the week when you open left like this?
Well, you know how Mondays are. When you open up big on a Monday, a lot of times you'll get backing and filling through the rest of the week. But that's a good thing, too, because what happens is the market works off the excesses. It doesn't go parabolic, and it can continue higher. So we'll have to see. But that generally is what I look for.
Interesting. So the financials, what sector do you think, any sector, is going to be able to take over from tech? I mean, this has been tech-driven bull market for the past 10 years, really.
Yeah, and that still seems to be the case right now, to be honest. It doesn't seem like anything's really overtaking technology from this stage, but it's just good to see money going into other places. And if that continues, then there's really, you could see these markets continue to climb. If it's just tech by itself, and then the technology sector starts to narrow in the amount of stocks that are holding things together, then it's really, really problematic. And normally that'll be an indication of a major decline coming. But yeah. Right now I'm not seeing that. Right now I'm seeing good advance in home builders. I'm seeing good advance in restaurant stocks. Hotel stocks are acting well. Financials are acting well today. So that's a good sign. That's what you want to see. Even energy, that's holding up really well. And then the healthcare names are all doing pretty good today. So anytime you see that, you take note of it, and you just let the markets guide you.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, so we've seen COVID cases spiral higher, but we've seen deaths, as high as the cases are going, the deaths are down over 95% now from the peak. And if you look at the chart, which maybe we'll put a chart up there so you can see it, the chart is showing like a bell curve, basically, for the deaths. They went up, and now they've been steadily down since April. And how much longer can they realistically put off the reopening?
I mean, they shouldn't put off the reopening. That's the bottom line. You know, the deaths have fallen off a cliff, and, you're seeing a lot more people catch the virus. I know many people with it, and they honestly don't even have any symptoms or anything. So, you know, why are we shutting down the economy? You can't shut down the economy because that's financial suicide, and that leads to bigger problems. So, you know, we've been saying all along, you got to open this thing up, and hopefully we get fully open soon.
And it's interesting because I read an article today, and not to get political, but AP was fact-checking Trump, and he said 99% of the people that get the virus, it's asymptomatic. It's nothing for them, and they might get a little sick. But he said it's basically nothing major. And they go and they basically say, well, based on reported cases, you know, of which there's 2 million something, 100,000 people have died. But we know from the epidemiologists that the actual confirmed cases out there are but a fraction of the total cases. It could be somewhere between a tenth to a 50th of the actual number of cases. There could be 50 million people that have it. So they fact check them, but they don't fact check them properly.
Yeah, well, look where the source is coming from. I don't want to say any more than that. You know, again, the numbers have been sketchy math from the beginning. We could talk about it till we're blue in the face. Everybody can spin a number any way they want to spin it. The truth of the matter is we know that the numbers, whether it was deaths or people that come in with the disease, is all fuzzy math. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't even know if we need to get into that anymore.
Yeah, not really, but we can only hope. I mean, look what happened in California. They shut down the fireworks. They said, don't go out. Don't go to the beaches. People went to the beaches. They had their own fireworks display. There was an aerial photograph of like thousands of Roman candles and fireworks going off. And they just basically, I think most people have had it. And it's not political from the standpoint of you believe one party or the other. It's like you're fed up. This is serving zero purpose. And I want to have a mask burning party when this is all over and done with, Nick.
Well, I'm ready to do the mask burning party tomorrow if you're ready.
All right. Well, maybe we'll start a trend and we'll post it on YouTube. Hey, so gold and silver up again, but not, you know, gold was up substantially in the beginning of the session, pulled back a little bit. Silver is up just over 1% spot. What are you making here?
Yeah, I think I'm hoping. I shouldn't say I'm thinking anything, but I'm really hoping that we're just going to see this continue around these highs and go sideways. I don't want to see a breakout now, because I got a feeling if we do break out now, this thing is going to make a run for the roses, and which means it's going to go parabolic, and then we'll come back in. I am definitely looking to get into gold and silver once again. I've had some really, really good trades this year with those vehicles, and I want to get back into them, but I'd like to see them consolidate. The more you consolidate, the higher you go down the road. The problem is this thing is just like ripping at the gate, that it wants to tear the cover off the ball and shoot higher. So we'll have to wait and see, but I'd like to see more consolidation here.
Well, we saw futures, you know, the nearest contract hit, you know, break 1800. Spot didn't do it yet. So you got to figure the spot's going to follow the future price at some point, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so we're looking at $1,800 gold, and by the end of the year, it could be substantially higher.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, though. You have central banks around the world printing money. Gold is really the only safe haven. The other is Bitcoin, where, you know, a lot of people have gone that way. I personally do not trade Bitcoin. But I do trade gold and silver. I own physical bullion, physical coins. I have for many, many years. So ultimately, I don't have a problem with it going higher. I'd love to see it go a lot higher. I just want to see that pattern, which I know will give us the most oomph to the upside.
You know, I have a troll on YouTube, and he says, for 10 years, you've been telling people to buy gold and silver. And after 13, I knew we're in for a long-term decline here. But I always said, you need to have it for an insurance policy.
It's the ultimate insurance policy. It has been since biblical times, and I think it will be till the end of time.
Yeah, for sure. So keep up with the insurance, but it's also a trading vehicle too.
That's right. And a lot of times, you know, my personal physical metal, I do not trade it at all. But the ETFs or these other trading vehicles that are out there, you can trade them and make money with them. So I don't understand. You know, it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, as I'm the first to admit, I have not been a raging bull on gold up until summer of 2019, where I saw the strength, the relative strength, and we saw what was happening in the markets too. So in the economy at large. So we closed out our Hyatt trade today.
Yep, I closed out that second half of the higher trade for over 8% on the second half. So total percentage gain, I think, was around 7%. But nice trade. That was a nice trade. Worked out pretty quickly as well. And now I'm gonna reload on that one on a pullback.
Yeah, well, I will confess I did a little better because I bought the options. But when I got the word to close it out, I closed it out, and I was up 25%, I think, in less than a week, Nick.
Well, it's not a bet. You're not going to get that in a savings account anytime soon, right?
No, you're going to lose that because of inflation, for sure. So we have a question, and it's kind of like you always get this, I know. But hey, somebody's listening and they're curious, they want to do this. And the question is, how much capital is necessary in order to make a living at this? And I know there's no answer for that, but give some guidelines here.
Well, there's an answer. I mean, but it depends on somebody's lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get people all the time. They'll come into my trading room with, you know, a $10,000 account, and they'll join my options program, and they'll say, how come I can't make, you know, I can't buy a house with this money I'm making? I'm like, well, 10,000 only produces so much. So, you know, again, I don't think people should come in asking that question. I think people should come in and say, hey, this is what I have to speculate with. And this is what, you know, can I get a decent return on my money? And then, you know, as you understand the method and you understand what goes into it, then you can up your share size or up your contract size, depending if you're trading options or you're trading stocks. But, you know, to come in and say, what, how much money do I need to make a living? You know, it's a pointless question, because I don't know if your lifestyle requires you to have $50,000 a year or $5 million a year. So, you know, it really depends on the individual. But I would always tell somebody is, come in and never, never start heavy. Test the waters first. Make sure I'm not full of BS. Make sure that you know that I know what I'm doing. You know, test the waters first. It's amazing how people come in and they want to, you know, be handed a silver medal, where they automatically are, you know, in the Olympics, and they're the best of the best. It doesn't work like that. This business, you're in the biggest arena in the world, and you're trading against sharks. And, you know, you have to really know what you're doing. You have to really allocate your money properly. Options especially, you know, people – we can lose 100%. I mean, that's a fact, and that's a reality. There are going to be trades in the next couple of months I might lose 100% on. You know, it doesn't happen all that often for me, but for the majority of people that trade options, they're going to wipe themselves out and lose money inside of a year. And the same goes for traders. Most traders have no idea. You know, they're going to get involved in, you know, the next great story or the next great cure for cancer. And guess what? They're going to be wiped out inside of a year. So, again, I always tell people, start out small. And then, you know, you'll figure that stuff out for yourself once you realize if you have a system in place that can actually make money consistently, because that's what it's about, consistently posting up winners. It's not about posting up millions of trades. It's not about posting up, you know, so-so trades. It's about putting up winning trades consistently, and that the winning will take care of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And just as a point of interest, so far since I've been using your system, I've done 9 trades. 7 of them I've closed out at a profit, some more so than others. Like, I think McDonald's was the best one by far. Then I've got one that's out of the money that's losing, and one that's slightly in the money. And, you know, like, to me, like, options trading, that's a minefield. I'd never be able to figure out how to do it on my own. Just never be able to. And, you know, to make 25%, hold a position, I think we were in it for about a week, Nick. You know, I've never been able to do that.
Yeah.
So just say, if a person put $10,000 in, what might they think? And it was January 1, what might they end up with at the end of the year? Maybe that's the best question.
Well, I always tell people, though, you know, you don't want to allocate all of your funds into one position, because that could be the loser. So,
yes.
You know, I always tell everybody, if you're going to trade options, you know, you go with 3 to 5% per option of your account size in any one trade. This way you can be in multiple trades. But I mean, right now I'm up almost 1,000% this year in 2020 on my options trades.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, you go there, look at my track record. Everything's transparent. It's right up there. In fact, today I closed out a Las Vegas Sands trade for 22.7% this morning. You know, and that was, I was been in that for about a week or so. Again, you know, you're going to be losing trades. So you don't want to put, 100% of your account in any one position, because you trade options, you can lose 100%, and there's risk involved there. And I always want to tell people about the risk first and foremost. I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, everybody likes to look at, oh, am I going to become the next big millionaire? But let me tell you, if everybody would become a millionaire if it was so easy.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's the truth. So when we look at options trading, are we taking a huge risk for a smaller potential gain, or how do you quantify the risk?
No, you're taking a small risk for a big gain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why we do it. I mean, just think about it. Las Vegas Sands, you know, 22%. You know, I got in that trade on the 22nd of June. And, you know, here I took almost 23%, 22.72% today. You know, that's just a really, really nice quick options trade. You know, the other trades I've had upward over 50%. Some of them, yeah, you know, will even, you know, get closer to 100%. So you never really know. What you're doing is you're taking really good chart patterns, is what I do, where I'm taking some of my mathematical levels and I'm giving it a sufficient amount of time to play itself out to the upside. And, you know, as long as you do that, I mean, we're going to post a lot of winners. But from time to time, we'll have stocks that I mistimed, and we're going to get, you know, what we call 100% losers. So, yes, you know, I think this year I have 300% losers out of, I don't know how many trades I have up here, maybe 50. So, mm-hmm, you know, again, the winners will take care of themselves, but you don't want to, you know, overextend yourself. And one thing I always tell everybody, don't be a gambler in this business. Have the odds in your favor. That's what will make money consistently in the market. The guys that are gambling, they're going to end up broke. And, you know, if you want to gamble, you may as well have more fun and go to the casino. At least they'll give you some free drinks.
Yeah, some free drinks. Maybe you get a room and a nice meal as well. But so there is no answer to that question, really. But the thing is, like, if you just keep the money in that account and you just keep building it and building it, at some point it might turn into your retirement account.
Yeah, put it this way, Kerry. My retention rate, and I've been now in the money stocks almost 14 years, my retention rate is upward of 80%. Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason for that. It's, mm-hmm, not because, you know, I suck. It's because guys know, hey, I'm going to go there and consistently we're going to get some wrong here and there, but we're going to consistently be correct and we're going to make some money. But it takes time. You know, I mean, I don't know what somebody's lifestyle's like. I don't know what their spending habits are. And I, quite frankly, I don't even care. I don't even want to know anybody's lifestyle or what their spending habits are. Yeah. They're free to do whatever they want to do. All I, sure, can tell you in this business is what I do.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting, like, I think it was Tony Robbins who said, most people overestimate what they can get done in a year and underestimate what they can get done in a decade. And that should be your time frame for doing this, is like multiple years, not from day to day, week to week, and month to month.
I agree 100%. You know, I have a doctor that lives next door to me, and he goes, I got to get into what you're doing. You know, he sees me with nice cars and boats and stuff like that. I got to get into what you're doing. And I said, well, how long did it take you before you did your first heart surgery? And he was like, oh, you know, before I went on my own, I didn't have my own practice for over 12 years. And I said, well, what makes you think you could come into my business and do what I do in 10 minutes? There's no way. You know, people don't understand. It takes a lot of time. I've been, yeah, doing this for a lot of years. And you know, you learn a lot over time, and things evolve, and you constantly are growing as an entrepreneur and as a trader. And that's the beauty of this business, in my opinion.
Yeah. So you got to put on your big boy pants. Understand you need to be in it for the long run. It's not get rich quick. You might get some trades that you really are great trades and you make a lot of money on. But the point is that you shouldn't go in there expecting that, because it just doesn't work that way.
Right. The business is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we'll leave it at that. Make sure you go take a look at Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com, and the Twitter feeds are at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, and at Kerry Lutz. And any questions or comments, we welcome them. Just send an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. And Nick, well, hey, hope you had a good 4th, and we will pick up tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry.
This concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. For more information, go to inthemoneystocks.com and see Nick's full trading record, or check out the Twitter feeds @ITMS and @NickSantiago01.